So let me again quickly, just give a prayer and then we'll continue. And that prayer, so what I want all of us to do is just do this. And if you're close to somebody, you can, can join hands. But this is all I want us to just acknowledge, which is, Father, all that you have for me, I'm willing to receive. So let's just take some time to pray that. And then let's affirm that, Father, I believe that you are able to keep me to the day of Christ. And then let's say, Father, I don't want an angel. I don't want a prophet. I want you. I want you walking with me day by day. Yes, angels are good and they are wonderful, but it's you, O Lord, my Father, Jesus, my brother, my friend, Holy Spirit, my advocate and comforter. I am depending on you to lead me on. And Father, I believe your word. Your word will be fulfilled. It will not return to you void. Your word for your kingdom will come to pass. You will keep us from every harm. You will preserve us, and you will lead us in the way everlasting. Father, I thank you. In the name of my Lord and Savior, the Exalted One, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. Amen. All right. Toby, Dara, where are you? Can you, I want, let's open to, my theme is going to come from 1 Kings chapter 19. I want to read a story there. I think most of us are familiar with the story of Elijah. So let's go to, so I'm going to have a number of scriptures. So let me just tell you ahead of time so that you can, if you can position yourself, anybody can read it. But I want Toby to read 1 Kings chapter 19 from, I mean, the first 8 verses. After that, I want somebody else to read Isaiah 40, maybe somebody from the Adeniyi's family. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. Then I would like SOJ to read Jude chapter 1, verse 28. Another person, Philippians chapter 1, from verse 1 through 6, and another person, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12. Let's stop there for now. So can we start from Toby, please?
Okay, 1 Kings 19. Now
Yes, first
Ahab.
verses. Yeah, hold on. Give everybody a quick, just a chance to get there.
Okay.
Some of us are slow poke, so wait there. Okay. All right, go on.
All right. Now Ahab told Jezebel everything Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. So Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah to say, "May the gods deal with me, be it ever so severely, if by this time tomorrow I do not make your life like that of one of them." Elijah was afraid and ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba in Judah, he left his servant there while he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness. He came to a broom bush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. "I have had enough, Lord," he said. "Take my life. I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the bush and fell asleep. All at once, an angel touched him and said, "Get up and eat." He looked around, and there was by his head was some bread baked over hot coals and a jar of water. He ate and drank and then lay down again. the angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat, for the journey is too much for you. So he got up and ate and drank. Strengthened by that food, he traveled 40 days and 40 nights until he reached Horeb, the mountain of God. There he went into a cave and spent the night. And the word of the Lord.
Amen. Thank you.
No Thank problem.
That's where we want to read. So before we go to read the other passages, let me just give a little bit of a commentary. Usually when we read that now Ahab, told Jezebel everything Elijah had done, and then people usually say, so, just Elijah, who had dealt with 400 prophets of Baal and, brought a great revival, just a common woman threatened him and he fled. You haven't got the story. So let me put it this way. Imagine Brother Wale receiving a threat from Melania Trump. And this is not because they are the ones in power right now. So forget about the politics. Are you going to say just come on, Melania? Because that is going to come with all the forces of persecution and state terror. So do you think Jezebel went to Elijah by herself? No. She sent messengers. Ahab controlled the armies. And Elijah can see that nobody's going to stand up for him. And it can wear you out. Having fought to bring that nation back to God, no army was standing up and saying, Jezebel, oh no, your life, we are going to chase you out. Are you kidding? You're going to touch Elijah? So when people say, a woman just threatened him and he ran away, you have to put it in proper context. There's a time when, with all that is going on, we can just feel tired of fighting. And that is why I wanted to, encourage every one of us, there is strength for the journey ahead. Anybody that was born between, my son actually, Oseba is 24 today. So I forgot to mention his name, but anyway, Oseba is 24 today. Oseba was born in 96. From 96 till now, we have had September 11. We've had Columbine shooting. We've had, the Gulf, we've had the war in Afghanistan. We've had ISIS. We've had different things. We have had racial tensions. In his 24 years, there has not been a period of hope and prosperity, not only in this country, but in the whole world. And now we're in time of COVID. So if you're not careful, if you're not paying attention, when Jesus said, watch and pray, you have to watch and pray. Your children can, without saying anything, our children and ourselves, we can simply adopt the attitude of despair. Because on the horizon, there is nothing that signifies hope. So when, you see Tani doing her work and all of that, for her generation, there has not been anything that shows excellence, integrity, or hope. There have been a lot of scandals of leaders, whether in the church, whether in our politicians. That's what she's known. So you can say, I want you to serve God. I want you to know the Lord. But in her mind, she will say, where is the hope? So Tishé, who is now 13, whether you like it or not, he imbibes the phenomena that is going on in the nation. He doesn't have to read all the news. He can feel the mood. He can see COVID. He can see politicians squabbling. And after 4 years, another set will come. So for all of us, those of us who are parents, your money has to be where your mouth is. the faith, hope, and love that the Bible talks about, that these three remain, they have to sit in our lives. It's not only the world that we have to give the reason for the hope that is in us. We have to give that reason to our immediate family members. So Simi and, you know, whether it's Dami and the rest, they have to see that the faith of their parents brings them to a place of joy, of substance. And that's what they can rely on. You know, they say action speaks louder than words. And I am encouraged by this fellowship because I know what we've gone through. But I want to encourage you, brethren, there's strength for the journey ahead. You all hear that? There is strength for the journey ahead. So when Elijah was in this state, he said he ran for his life. When he came to Beersheba, he left his servant there. While he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, he came to a juniper, a broom brush, sat down under it, and prayed that he might die. He then said, God, deliver me from Jezebel. He said, God, I want to go. He says, I have had enough, my Lord. Take my life. I am not better than my ancestors. Because he would have read of the story of Moses, who took the children of Israel from Egypt, and who saw them waste away for 40 years in the wilderness because of unbelief and disobedience. He would have read of the kings up and down, Saul and the rest, who started well and disobeyed God. And he said, I'm not better than them. What was I thinking? Am I going to achieve a better thing? The idolatry of Israel is a cyclical thing. It's just on and on. It never goes. I'm done. I want to go. And God is very wonderful. God is very wonderful. So God doesn't answer. He just laid down. And all God did was he came by. An angel said, Elijah, wake up. Get up and eat. So he said, Elijah, what are you doing here? What's going on and all of that? Are you afraid? No, he said, get up and eat. He ate. No more speech. He drank. Then he lay down again. The angel of the Lord came back a second time and touched him and said, get up and eat. Get some sustenance, for the journey is too much for you. You don't have the strength for the journey. It's not within your means. It's too much for you. He got up and he ate. You know what happened? The Bible says, he traveled for 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of that food. So we have bread prepared that is better than that of the angel. It is the same thing. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven so that whoever eats me will never die. Our children, our family members have to see us on a daily sustenance that comes from the bread of life. So, if me too were to say, Mom, there's just no hope. It's just so hopeless. Say, there is. It's not in man. Our God, our Lord, I'm trusting that day by day, he is going to himself be your sustenance. So go in that strength. Brother Delicate, if SOJ were to come to you and I say, Dad, it's too much. Are you going to say, let's go buy a new car? It's not going to work. He said, actually, let's go get a new house. I mean, Brother Wally, if your daughters come to you and say, "Dad, encourage me," I say, "Oh, let's go get a new car." It's not going to work. We have one who is alive. So let's go in that strength until we get to the mountain of God. Let's go in that strength until we get to the mountain of God. In Hebrews, it says, "You have not come to a mountain that cannot be touched. You have come to Mount Zion and to God himself, who creates all things, to an innumerable company of angels, and to the spirit of just people made perfect, and the blood of Christ, the mediator." So we have a destination. And I thank God, you know, I heard it in the prayers, whether it was with Brother Wally or some of the songs our sister, you know, Kemi was leading us into. We have a destination. We do have a destination. And we have strength enough for that journey. You don't need to go anywhere. You don't need to, you know, so for like, you don't need to go anywhere. For like, you know, Adini, are you still working with Marriott? Where are you now? Unmute yourself. Sister Folake Adeniyi. I can't hear you.
Yes, I am.
You with them?
Yes.
You are faithful. You are a very faithful person. What have they made you now? Are you the MVP? What are you now?
No.
Not yet? Okay. All right.
Not yet.
Okay, good. So I want you to read a passage for me, right? I want you to read a passage for me. I want you to read John chapter 17. So I'm going to give you this. I might have given it to somebody, but I want you to, Sister Folake, I want you to go to, let's go to John chapter 17. So before the Lord Jesus left, he turned to his father. You picture this. The Lord has been with his disciples. He's performed miracles. They've seen him give his powerful words. But now he said he's going to leave. And you wonder, what will that mean for the believer, the disciples? Because at their doorstep, the opposition of the religious leaders and the oppression of Rome. They're a minority in an occupied land. And even another minority within their own people. They don't have political means. They are not well connected. How are they going to make it? And this one that they've trusted, he's about to leave. Oh, what is he leaving them with? Let's look at the Lord coming to his father to present his group of called out ones to the father, what we call the high priestly prayer. Let's go to it. Folake, can you go to, let's go to John chapter 17. We'll come back to the other passages. You know, today I just, you know, I don't want to preach a sermon. I want to share with you how I encourage myself, how I get, you know, my own ammunition for the journey, how I receive my own strength for the journey ahead. So I want you to start from verse 6, if you don't mind, Sister Folake, read from verse 6. And go all the way until you get to, just keep reading until we feel we got the kernel of this truth. Go on. Thank you. We can read now.
I have revealed to those whom you gave me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they've obeyed your word. Now they know that everything you have given me comes from you. For I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them. They knew with certainty that I came from you, and they believed that you sent me. I pray for them. I'm not praying for the world, but for those you have given me, for they are yours. All I have is yours, and all you have is mine. And glory has come to me through them. I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, Protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture will be fulfilled.
Thank you. Let's stop there. Let's stop there. Let's stop there for a minute. The Lord says to his father before he leaves, verse 12, while I was with them, I kept them in your name. In your name. I kept them within the provision of who you are. The name you gave to me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture may be fulfilled. It's a holy father. Keep them, verse 11, keep them in your name. You can read that. We can read that to our children. We can share that with our family. When they set out for any journey, we can share that with them. You can do better than the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I kept them in your name. Remember, we had the move of that wonderful blessing from Numbers. The Lord bless you and keep you. We all sang it, and it continue. Don't let it be a fad that we did it then, that's gone. No, it's something we should learn to continue to do. So, Sister Tola, you know, when you're praying for Josh and your daughters, that continues to be your prayer. It's not something, oh, when it was in vogue, we did it. But in that passage, there's something there. He said, this is how you are to place my name on them. That's what God said to the priest. You will say this, and in doing this, you will place my name on them. You remember, I don't know how many of you, you know, I always say that most of you, apart from Brother Wale, were you rascal when you were younger? You seem to have the face of somebody who was rascally when you were young, but I may be wrong, but the rest of you all look very quiet, very, you know, dignified and peaceful. So, but when I was growing up, I have a brother called Michael. His nickname was Sour because Michael came with the Day of Judgment. And so you left me alone because Michael, when you saw him, you know the Day of Judgment had come. And that's all I needed. They just said, oh, that's Aloja, Obi Apako. That's Apako's brother. And that's just leave me alone. Let him be. Well, don't you think that might be that is the same thing with a child of God? Every created thing, seen or unseen, will say, Mama Olubunmi will say, that's God, that God's name is on her. Please move away. Step out. You don't need to be asking God to ward off the devil. They see you. It's please, just go. That's why, you know, these sons of Sceva, the demon said, Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. You, I don't know. And in our bender, they said not to, they grabbed their hand and nakeded them. They say, if you know, speak pidgin, they grabbed them, beat them, and nakeded them. Say, because I know the others, you I don't know. It's the same thing. Say, I have kept them in your name. He said at some point to them, little flock, don't be afraid. It's your father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And when he was trying to tell them to take it easy about anxiety, he said, look at the birds of the air. They do not have a minister for agriculture. They don't have minister for housing. Look at this. Look, and your father feeds them. Raven, you know, raven are not very good birds. They're not nice. See, your father feeds them. So what about you? So, sister, you know, Yewande, what about you? If you can transmit your belief in the fatherhood of God to all those around you, including your children, you would have done a wonderful work for them. You would have done more than train them. You know, we say, the best I can give you is an education. Oh, no. The best you can do is to give them the confidence you're having in your God. So, Brother Peter, I know you're good. You know, you are Sister Kika. You are going to work hard to, you know, get your kids to go to school. Transmit to them your belief in the fatherhood of God. And that is why when we pray, what is our prayer? Our Father who is in heaven. Unmute yourself. Let's pray together. Let's all pray together. Unmute yourself. We can, a cacophony. Let's just go and pray together. Our Father. He said, when you pray, when your children ask you, how do you pray? You can't be better than what Jesus taught his disciples. It's not an outline for prayer. It is the real prayer. He said, when you pray, say this. It takes care of every prayer need. My brothers and sisters, I almost say it with tears in my eyes. The days ahead are going to be hard. But fear not. He went in the strength of this food for 40 days. Let's go back to our scripture reading. Let me see who is going to read Isaiah chapter 40, verses 28 to 31. Can you go ahead and read, please? But while you get somebody in your, get one of the girls to read it. Isaiah chapter 40, 28 to 31.
Yeah, she's reading.
Okay.
Have you not known, have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth? Neither faint nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. And the young and the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young man shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall look up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Amen. Did you hear that? Do you not know? Have you not heard? And I'm sure you have heard, you do know, that the creator of the ends of the earth does not become weary or tired. His understanding is unsearchable. You can't fathom it. It's too much. He gives strength to who? To the weary, to the tired. He gives strength to the tired. Cam Darcy, who wrote the song Precious Lord, he gives the reason behind the song. He was preparing to go for a gospel convention, I think from Chicago to St. Louis. And he went there and then he got a telegram. His wife was expecting their baby. And he got a telegram to say, you better come back home. Your wife died during childbirth as well as the baby. He picked up his stuff and headed back to Chicago. It could have been St. Louis to Chicago, but anyway. So he was there, buried both of them. And then he said he was tempted to go back to the blues, to go back, nobody knows, you know, the troubles, I'm be down on my luck, and I'm sad and can't be satisfied. All those kind of songs. He was almost tempted to go back to the blues. Then as he sat down, he said he was just fingering the keys on the piano. And then like a wave, this surge of consolation came upon him. And he set it down. Precious Lord, take my hand. Lead me on, lest I fall. I am tired. I am weary. I'm worn. Take my hand. Precious Lord, lead me on. We sing it today, right? We all enjoy it. That's how that song came about. There's another song by a man named Sam Cooke. A change is gonna come. You have to pay attention to them. He said a lot of people disappointed him, his brother, everybody. He said, there was a time I thought I couldn't last long, but now I believe I'm able to carry on. A change is gonna come. I share this with you because this is how I go through my own life. I think of the Lord who's been very faithful to us. I think of where he brought me. There's another song. It says, I don't feel no ways tired. I don't, do you guys all listen to, you know, Negro spiritual? I don't feel no way tired. You know, that's the ebonic. That's a real, real grammar from the South, which I love. I don't feel no ways tired. Nobody told me that the road would be easy, but I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. And he goes on, I don't believe he brought me this far to leave me. That's James Cleveland. Over the years, the saints of God have always been able to put into song their toil in this earthly plane and fuse it with their hope that is grounded in God himself. He went in the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights until he came to the mountain of God. My brothers and sisters, there is strength for the journey ahead. And that strength is the Lord himself. God does not give us, he is our strength. The psalmist said, the Lord is my strength. Now he gives me strength. He is my strength. Kami, I don't know if you remember, so go when we were in Ifet. He was my senior in medical school, but they lived in quarters. They used to ride bikes, you know, bikes, these big motorbikes, you know. So Go's mom was from Switzerland. His father was a Yoruba man. So tall and... he was one of these children of Nebuchadnezzar. But anyway, so this is what he did. So they took the engine of a Porsche and put it in a Volkswagen. they were very, very inventive. I mean, these guys could do. So he took the engine of a Porsche and put it in Volkswagen. And so when he's driving and all this, you know, Peugeot and the rest are trying to overtake him, I said, this vehicle, how come? They didn't know that the engine in it was the Porsche. So people look at Kunle, they look at Sister Fadike, Detola, they look at, you know, all of you and think it's just you they are dealing with. They come to find out it's not you they are dealing with. Where is Mito in school? Yeah. Is she in school? Okay.
She's on.
They suddenly find that it's not me they are dealing with. They are dealing with the one who created heaven and earth. That's what David was saying. He said, oh, this man? It's not. That won't be a problem. Let me tell you, give you my resume. I may have told much, you know, but when once I was guarding the sheep my father gave me and a bear came, I killed it. Now, I mean, you've seen the bear, right? You've seen the bear. I don't know if some of you have seen. You've seen the lion? You will forget your gun. You will, if you see them, if you are not careful, you might turn the gun on yourself. Just the way they roar. He said, not only did I kill it, I pursued it and took the sheep from his mouth. That's David. So this Philistine, this one, it's like a lizard. If the same God that did that for me is the God. So that the Lord is my strength. The Lord is your strength. Don't ask for an angel to come and go with you. Why do you want an angel when the Lord lives in you? It even gets better. Let's go to John chapter 14. Come in. Let's go to John chapter 14. Let's switch gears. John chapter 14. Let's quickly go there, then we'll finish. I still have next week with you, right? So we can continue on this. And after we read that, I'm going to pause and take questions and comments. So you may, you know, those of you who are used to doing Saturday, you know that we take questions and comments. So we're going to read this now, talk a little bit, and then I'm going to open up for a time of questions and comments, and then we will pray and we'll continue next week. But the main point that I'm driving is this. You do have the strength to go on. And it's encapsulated in a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. You all know it. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us. That is the formula. So all the things we've been talking about will be encapsulated in that which you already know. But let's go to John chapter 14, because it gives us a feeling, the despondency that was in the lives of the disciples and how Jesus pulled them up. So can we please go to John chapter 14, start from verse 1. You have to read it as a preparation for the tough journey ahead with superior implements for survival.
Do not let your hearts be troubled.
Mm-hmm.
Trust in God. Trust also in me.
Yes.
In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me, who is doing his work. Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe on the evidence of the miracles themselves. I tell you the truth. Anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will also do even greater things than these, because I'm going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Read that again, one more time. Read that one more time.
I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you.
Stop, pause there. I want all of us to read it together. Everyone, read it from wherever you are. Read, just listen to that. Let's read it together. One, two, go.
I will not leave you, orphans. I will come to you.
I will not leave you without aid. I won't leave you without support. I will come to you. Keep reading, go on.
Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you.
I stop there, thank you. Then quickly move over to verses 25 and 26 and 27.
All this I have spoken while I'm still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid.
Let's stop there. Let me just read that verse 27 one more time. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. The Lord is leaving his followers in an occupied place with a world power, with external and internal enemies. And upon these people who have no standing in the society, he wants to spread his kingdom all over the world. That can only happen because he knew who he was. You ever heard the song by George Benson? It's called On Broadway. I want to bring all this so you can get the picture. He said, everybody told me that song, I don't know whether that's him. There's the song on Broadway that you're not going to make it. He said, but I know myself. I can play this here guitar. I know what I can do. I'm not taking that Greyhound bus and heading out. I know what I can do. The Lord is saying to them, I will come to you. He didn't say I will send an angel. But you know, when sometimes you hear these false prophets, I don't listen to them, both from Nigeria and from here. It's as if an angel appears to you, that's such a great thing. When God lives in you, are you hyped that an angel came to? When God lives in you, the creator of the universe. Sister Bonale, read for us Jude chapter 1, verse 28. Let's start praying. We're about to pray now, and then Fadeka, I'm going to come to you. Well, let's read that, and then Fadeka, I'll give you one other passage to read, and then I'll take some questions before we pray. Jude, verse 20, there's only one verse. There's only one chapter. So read verse 28. And then, Sister Fadeka, you are going to read the last verse in Hebrews chapter 13. But let's go there first. Jude, verse 28.
It's
Jude stops at 25.
25, yes, please, 25. And don't know what I'm saying. And you know, my eyes now, it's getting some, it becomes like five. Okay, this read verses 24 and 25.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to preserve.
What happened to your mic?
Okay, you can hear me.
Now I can hear you. It sounded like a Jamaican DJ. I couldn't hear. Okay, now I can hear you. Okay.
Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Let's go to Hebrews, Mr. Fadeka. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13.
What verse? The last verse.
Last verse. There's a prayer there. I want us to go to that okay. prayer.
I appeal to you, brothers, bear with my word of exhortation, for I have written to you briefly. You should know that our brother Timothy has been released, with whom I shall see you if he comes soon. Greet all your leaders and all the saints. Those who come from Italy send you greetings. Grace be with you. Grace be with all of you.
Amen. You see, if you read all the letters of Paul, you will hear that grace be to you. Grace be to you. You think it's a formula. It is not. Grace is, the grace can come in different ways. It is that which allows God to look on us with favor. But grace can also mean an enabling power within us. In all the letters, go watch Paul say, grace to you. Grace be to you. It is not cut and paste. And Sister Fadeka, while you are there, go also actually that same chapter. Go to one more verse above. Go to verse 20. Verses 20 and 21. Read those passages, please. Those two verses, 20 and 21.
Okay. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, it keep you with everything good that you may do his will, walking in us. Oh, sorry, let me take it again. Mm-hmm. Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, it keep you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. So imagine, just look at this prayer. So you can, if you have your family there with you, why don't you take time to pray that? Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you. You can say that to Tisha, equip you. You can say that to, you know, all of your children. You can say that to Maya. You can say that to Dami. You can say that to all of your children, everybody, your spouse, your brother, your sister, your aunt, your uncle. May he equip you with everything good for doing his will. May that happen for our brother Wally. May that happen for our sister Biola. May that happen for Bumi. May that happen for every one of you who I can not mention your name. John, Jackie, Sally. Here one day, everyone with the Adelikes, the Adenis, the everybody, Lola, all of you, Brother Debo, every one of you, Ademi Jews, all of you. Yogunla, yes, every one of you.
Mm-mm, I can't do anything.
God equip you with everything good for doing his will.
And where you're in answer.
You, what is pleasing in him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. That's a prayer. Some quick questions. I'm done. Any question? We're going to continue next week, but just any question. Is there something that you need to clarify or a comment? You've all taken a vow of silence?
I would say thank you for the Ahab story, because I always also hear, you know, what's commonly out there is that a woman scared him away. But, you know, when we look at it in the context, as you explain, it really makes sense that, you know, this was the first lady. You know, she had a lot of power behind her to do and undo.
Yeah.
It brings it to context.
Absolutely. You can see now how CDC, FDA, and the rest of them are tripping over themselves. Scientists who are trained are saying things that are wrong because of the power that can threaten them. So that is very real. I used to say it, and then one day it sort of struck me that no, Jezebel was not just a waitress at McDonald's. You know, this is the powerful person.
Brother Lodger.
Yes, please.
I'd like to say, I just want to share a comment that this morning I woke up feeling sorry for myself, actually, and feeling tired. From nowhere this came, and I thank you. Thank God for this.
So, may the Lord be his strength always in you. May he renew his strength in you. So what you need to do is to come what they call a pit stop. So we go to the Lord and say, Lord, I need a tune-up. Nothing new. God doesn't have to do anything. He just needs to replace some worn-out parts in us. He's very good at doing it. So I pray that, you know, Sister Jackie, that the Lord will fill you with his joy, that he will give you his spirit, which you already have, but in another measure, that Amen. You will understand the heart of Jesus, who himself went through all of this.
Amen to that.
So in Hebrews chapter 12, and Sister Jackie, I want you to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2.
My eyes are not good.
Call John. John, ask him to borrow you his eyes. Where is John?
Let me call him. Hold on.
Don't worry. If he's not, stay. Don't go. Come, Sister Jackie. Sister Abuki, read it for us. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let's all go there. You can post it on the chat as well. So one of you should quickly post it on the chat. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2.
Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay. So, Sister Jackie, you know that verse, you know the year I learned it was in 1996. We were in England before Selva was born, and it was a very difficult period in our lives because we were in exile, and my wife was very sick. Well, she's here now. So that night we had just gone. So anytime if I called the cab station in Luton, if I say 112 Dorrington, they say you're going to the hospital. So that night we were back in the hospital, and it was just exhausting. And we've prayed all the prayers, everything for God to give, you know, my wife relief and everything. I turned on the radio and I happened to land on a Christian channel, and they read that passage, looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, the one who started our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured. He sat under the cross. I don't remember whether the person explained it or didn't explain it. I can't remember. What I remember was that fear left my heart. Uh, Let me share with you another song. You got some time? Bumi, I can still take 5 minutes?
Yes, please.
Have you ever heard the song, I Was By the Bedside of a Neighbor? Have you heard that song? Have you heard that song? I was by the bedside of a neighbor. You guys don't listen to Negro spirituals. Okay. This is how the song goes. I was by the bedside of a neighbor who was about to cross to the other side. So I asked my friend, do you really have to take this journey without me? He said, okay, but I'll tell you something. When you get there, tell the Savior that you saw me. Are you hearing this conversation now?
Yes.
Tell the Savior you saw me. And when you saw me, I was on my way. Say, don't forget to tell the Savior what I just told you. That line, the comfort it brought to me was, I can't tell you. Jesus, don't forget where I am. Sometimes you have to grab Jesus. You have to grab Jesus by the heel. Say, Lord, don't forget me.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Jackie, do you speak pidgin? Let me tell you. Okay. Somebody went to God and said, God, you better do something before something do me.
I know. I do that.
You know that kind of prayer? Or yes. The kind of prayer where sometimes you go to God, God looks at your face, he will say, quickly answer Jackie, because the way he's not, it was even in the world. Those things makes me loved. I like Jesus. I mean, I got the best I can. Jesus, you're not going anywhere, Lord. No, I'm not letting you go. You are not going anywhere. Jacob said, God, it won't work. Now, do something. Now, you know, my brother is there, Esau, with 400 people. Lord, now. The angel wrestled with him. I had to dislocate his hip joint, but blessed him. Let's not waste our sorrows, my brothers and sisters. I know I'm talking to my family, so I don't have to give you theory. I'm talking to my brothers and sisters, people that I really love. So I'll share that with you. Do not waste our, let's not waste our struggles, because we have a lot of them in our midst.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, don't forget me. It's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's not my brother, it's not my sister, it's me. It's me, Jackie, it's a lodger. And it's Kunle, that Jesus, this is not the voice of Wale. This is the voice of Kunle. Lord, I know you know everything, but I just want to make sure, though, that you know it's me.
True.
It's me, this is Jackie again. Lord, I want to let you know. Because Jesus, that's how he comes to his friends. The last thing I want to share with you, you remember how he restored Peter? They'd been fishing. He said, children, come and dine. The fish he gave them was not the one they caught. He already put the food there. He knew they were tired. They were exhausted. He said, come and dine. It was after eating that he said, Peter, do you love me? He didn't say, Peter, do you believe in me? Do you believe in the second coming? Do you believe in salvation by faith? He didn't see any of that. Do you love me one-on-one? He said, Lord, I love you. He asked him again, do you love me? He said, yes. He said, Lord, you know I do. And Jesus knew that Peter loved him. Right? So let's stop there. Let's pray. Let's conclude in prayer. Mr. Yewande, close us in prayer without your soft, small voice. It sounds like the voice that Elijah heard in the still, small voice. So let's pray for us. Okay.
Lord, we just thank you for being with us, being here, being present by our side and just loving us. We thank you that, Lord, you've taken away our tiredness, our fatigue, our despair, and you have replaced with your grace, Lord.
Thank you.
Lord, we just thank you that, Lord, even in this weary world, even with a lot of things just happening, Lord, You are sure, Lord. You are certain, Lord. You're for real. You're perfect. You know everything that's going on, and nothing happens without you knowing. You're in control, Lord. And we bless you because, Lord, you are our God that is so perfect in this imperfect situation, Lord. Lord, you even know that, Lord, years back, centuries back, Lord, these same problems, Lord, were still there. But we at that time, Lord, and Lord, so we're seeing from a human perspective, but you see from a sovereign perspective, and there is nothing that is a surprise to you. And so we come to your feet, Lord. We come to the feet of Christ to lay all our burdens, to lay our fears, our anxieties, to just lay down, Lord, our fears for tomorrow, Lord. Lord, you remind us again and again that you will not forget us, Lord. And Lord, we rest assured in that promise because we know that you are a good, good God and that you love us, Lord. And so as a body, Lord, we ask for your strength to take it a second by second, to take it a minute by minute, to take it an hour by hour, to take it a day by day, Lord. Not fearing what will happen tomorrow, but rejoicing in what you have for us today. Lord, we pray that, Lord, your spirit will abound in our lives. Your spirit of love and excellence, Lord, will show forth instead of a spirit of fear, Lord. We pray that there will be a revival, Lord, of your spirit, Lord, and it will begin within us and extend even to those that do not know you. May those that don't know you look at us, your children, and want what we have. Lord, you being the light, Lord, let your light reflect in each life today, Lord. Lord, uplift your body, uplift your church. We are your people, Lord. Amen. And let your name be glorified, Lord.
Amen.
Bless you, Lord. In Jesus' name we've prayed. Amen.
Amen.
Back to you.